We are beginning Masechta Shabbos, Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, at the top of the Amud, with the word Esrei. We learned in the Mishnah on Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis that we are not allowed on Shabbos to place a kli under a burning flame in order to catch dripping oil. Rabbah explained the reason of this din is because the flame and the oil are muktzah, and one is not allowed to move a non-muktzah kli for an item which is muktzah, unless by doing so we can prevent a usual common loss. Saving enough drops of oil worth saving is not usual, is not a hatsola mitsuya, as the Gemara terms it, and therefore the Chachamim did not allow the kli to be moved. Abaya tries to show that Chazal permitted moving a kli even for a hatsola which is not mitsuya, not usual. And so we begin on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph at the top with the word Esrei. Abaya is asking a question from a Mishnah further in the Masechta on Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah tells us Kaifin Ka'ara Al Haner, that one is allowed on Shabbos to turn over a bowl on top of a flame, shelo yoiches b'kayra. The purpose of turning the bowl over is that the flame should not shoot up to the beam in the ceiling and cause a fire. Rashi tells us that this kor is made shel charis, it's made of earthenware, not metal. The reason for this, why it could not be speaking about a kor that's made out of metal, because the metal would become red hot, And thereupon, one would be over on Havor, on making a fire on Shabbos, by making this metal red hot. If we were speaking about a case where there's a danger to life, then it would be mutter to be called for the kara, even if the kara was made out of metal. However, we're speaking here in a case where it is not life-threatening, and therefore it is usher to turn over a bowl that's made out of metal, because one would be over on the Isser of Havora. It is permitted if it is made out of Kli Cheres. The Gemara's question is that since the Kora, the beam, is Mukta, here we have a case where one is moving a non-Mukta Kli for a muktzah kli, and it is hatsola she'ena mitsuya. It is not a usual hatsola. The Gemara answers, bebate gechini, it's speaking about very low ceiling houses, deshchicha b'deleika, that in that instance, it is in fact a hatsola mitsuya, it is shchiach, it is usual for the beam to catch fire, unless it will have the protection of the kli cheres ka'ara, and therefore it fits in with the shita of Rabbah. Continues the Gemara, and on the side it says, Toshma, come in here, I'll ask you a question, says Abaya to Rabbah, from another Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos, at the end of the Masechta Kuf Nun Aleph Amud Beis. The Mishnah states, V'chein Korah, and so too, a beam shenishbar that became broken on Shabbos, and it is now Muktzah, Soimchen Oysa, one can support it, one, you're not allowed to raise up the beam, that would be Bona on Shabbos, but you can support the beam that it should not fall down further. With what can you support it? With certain kalim. What are those kalim? Besafzol, with a bench, or Ba'aruchos Hamita, with the sideboards of a bed. And here again, Abai is posing the same type of question to Rabbah. You're moving a movable keli for the purpose of a muktzah kli, and it is Eina Mitsuya. It is Atzol Shana Mitsuya. It's not usual that the Koru would break. How are you allowed to do this? According to Rabbah, Lechor, it would seem that you're allowed to move for a Hatzola She'ena Mitsuya, even for saving something that's not usual, the Gemara answers, it's speaking about Bikshuri Charati with new beams. Davide de Paki, that is, happens very often, that they will break when a roof is first laid down. The pressure of the roof causes the new beams to break. So it is Metsuya, and therefore it fits in with Rabbi Shita that you can move a kli for a Hatzola, which is Metsuya, even though it's for Muktzah, but it's for Hatzola Metsuya. Continues the Gemara. Abai asks another question on Rabbi Shita. On the side it says, Toshima, come in here. I will now ask you a question from a mission in Beya. Neisnen kli tachas hadelef b'shabbos. One is allowed to put a kli under a roof which has a leak in it on Shabbos, and the Gemara is assuming that this leak, the water from the leak, is dirty and therefore it's not potable, one cannot drink it, so it's muktzah. And yet once again you are moving a kli for the purpose of something muktzah, and it's a hatsola she'ena mitzui. It's not usual that it will have a leak, and yet you're allowed to do it. Ask Abaya to Rabba, and Rabba responds, Bebati Charati. This is speaking about a new house. The Shechichid Adalfi, that until all the problems get solved in a new house that is built, it is very Shechich that it will have leaks in it, and therefore it is for a Hatzola Mitzuya, and it is permitted, and this is in accord with Rabba's opinion. Now the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yosef gives a different reason. High in the time of Rav Chisda, he gives a new reason in Rav Chisda. What did Rav Chisda teach us? Rav Chisda taught us on Daf Mem Beis Amid Beis concerning a hen that laid an egg on Shabbos. That Rav Chisda said right after the Mishnah. Amar Rav Chisda, Afal Pisha Amru Ein Noisn Kli Tachs Tarnegoilus. Even though one is not allowed to put a kli under the hen to catch the egg that the hen is laying on Shabbos, you're allowed to put a keli on top of the egg so that the egg will not be broken. And Rabba had made a distinction and explained Rav Chisda's distinction by saying that Einachanami, you're allowed to turn over a keli on top of the egg so that people don't step on it, because a hen usually will lay the egg in a trash heap or something similar to that, and it is usual in that place to be stepped on and broken, and therefore one can protect it. That's a Hatzola Metsuya. There you have a case of a kli being moved for something muktzah. The bay that's laid on Shabbos is muktzah, but since the Hatzola is Metsuya, one is allowed to do that. However, to catch the egg so that it doesn't roll down, a Madron, a slanted area, that is a place where a hen will not usually lay the egg. So the whole Hatzola is Eina Metsuya. And therefore, that was Rabbi Shita, you're not allowed to move a kli for a Dover Mukta when it is a Hatzola She'ena Metsuya. However, Rav Yosef comes along and gives a totally different reason in Rav Chisda. Hi, in the time of Rav Chisda, do you know the reason of Rav Chisda why he made a distinction between catching the egg, which is not permitted, and covering over the egg, which is permitted? Mishum de kamavato kli mechana. In the case where you are catching the egg, which is muktzah, and now the keli becomes a buses, a base for the muktzah, so it itself becomes muktzah. And you are being mevatel the kli from that which it was prepared to do. It was prepared to be used on Shabbos, but now that it has something muktzah in it, it cannot be moved around, it cannot be used, it cannot fulfill what its function was at the beginning of Shabbos. You're being mevatel the kli from its preparation, and that is not permitted to be done on Shabbos. Now, according to Rabbi Yosef, there is no distinction between something that is matsui or not matsui, as Rabba made the distinction, but rather, if you're covering the muktzah, it is not containing the muktzah, the kli is not nizbatel me'echonoi. you can pick up the kli and use it for any other purpose. Whereas if it caught the egg after the hen laid it, there it is now muktzah. It's a basis for the muktzah which it contains within it. This is the reasoning that Rav Yosef gives to Rav Chisda. Esvei Abaye. Abaye asks a question on this pshat of Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Chisda, and Rashi tells us that these are all various mishnayos. Chavis shel tevel shen nishbura. If you have a barrel of tevel which got broken, mevi kli acher umaniach tachteo, in order to salvage what is contained within the kli from getting spoiled, one can bring another kli and put it under the chavis of tevel that broke, and one would then catch the contents of the broken chavis. So here is a situation where the tevel l'char is mukta, the kli that you're using now will be in this batel me'echana. You will no longer be able to use it as it was ready at the beginning of Shabbos, because since it has muktzah in it, it can't be moved around. So according to you, Rabbi Yosef, how is that permitted to be done? That's Abaye's question to Rabbi Yosef. Our Malay, so Rabbi Yosef responds to Abaye, Tevel muchen hu etzel Shabbos. You're making a mistake. You're under the assumption that Tevel is muktzah. No, Tevel in fact is prepared for Shabbos. Why? Even though there's an isser for one to give Meiser from the Tevel on Shabbos, there's an issur Rabbanim because it's like you're being Mesakin, you're fixing something on Shabbos, which Rabbanim prohibited. But, explains Rashi, the Gemara's words now, She'im over v'tikna Mesukin. If someone will come along, says Rashi, V'im bo echad v'over al divrei chachamim, She'asru litrim b'Shabbos, v'tikna, if someone would transgress what the Rabbanim said, not to give Trumas of Meisrus on Shabbos, and he would correct, and he would fix this on Shabbos, Bidi Evid, if he did it and he didn't listen to the Chachamim, the halach is Mesukin. It is fixed. The Tevel is no longer Tevel. The Trumas and Meisrus have been removed. You can now move and eat the remaining Tevuah. Therefore, the Keli, which is now receiving within it the Tevel from the broken keli, the new keli is not a keli that can no longer be used for its original function, because the contents of the kli are not muktzah, so the kli itself does not become muktzah. So this is consistent with Rav Yosef's pshat in Rav Chisda. The Gemara asks from another Mishnah, and on the side it says Toshima, Noisnin kli tachas aner lekabel nitzaitzis, that you can take a keli and put it under a flame that is shooting off sparks to receive those sparks. So here, once again, l'chayru, you're being mevatel kli mechanei, because the keli becomes muktzah since it contains within it the sparks, which are muktzah. How does Rav Yosef explain this Mishnah? Am Rav Huna Rav Yeshua, Rav Huna, in the name of the son of Rav Yeshua, gives an answer, and it says, ein ben mamish, there is no substance to the sparks. They will soon get extinguished, and therefore the keli never becomes muktzah, because the sparks are considered not to have substance, and therefore there is nothing muktzah to talk about to make the keli, which is mekabel the netzoytzes, into muktzah. You're not being mevatel kli meichana. You can move the keli around. Rabbi Yosef has an answer from this Mishnah. V'chein, the Gemara says Toshima on the side. Another question that was posed to Rav Yosef. The Chen Kairish Nishbro, the Mishnah says that a Korah that was broken, we can support it with a bench, or with the sideboards of the bed. And the Gemara is assuming that the sideboards or the bench is put tightly under the beam, and you can't move the sideboards, and you cannot move the bench, and therefore you've been mevatikli mechana before this bench or the sideboards were able to be used for various purposes on Shabbos, and now they are squashed under the bima, under the korah, and they cannot be used. So you've been mevatikli mechana. The Gemara answers the Rafi. It's speaking about where the beam was on top of the sideboards or the bench in a loose way. The Iboy Shakalei, if the person wants, he can remove it. So therefore, it has not become Nizbatel Me'echana. You can still use it for the original purposes that it was destined to be used for at the beginning of Shabbos. So there is no problem from that Mishnah. Continues the Gemara. Another question on Rabbi Yosef. Toshima, it says on the side, Noisn Kli Tachas Adelf B'Shabbos. We had this Mishnah before, that one can put a Kli under a leaking roof on Shabbos. And so here we have a case where, as we said before, the water is not potable. You can't drink it. The water is muktzah, so the kli that is being makabel, that is receiving this delef, this undrinkable water, also becomes muktzah. So you're being mevatel kli me'echani. It's a kasha on Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef will answer, but delef haroi. It's not speaking about dirty water that's coming through the leak. It's speaking about clean water, which someone can drink. It is potable, and therefore, you're not being mevatel kli me'echani. The Ritva points out that this Mishnah, which was asked before on Rabba himself could have given the same answer as Rav Yosef does. Rabba chose to answer that it is a hatsola matsui, that it is a hatsola which is frequent. Why? Because we were speaking about a new house which frequently has leaks in it. But Rabba at the same time could have answered, like Rabbi Yosef, that it's not speaking about that the water is muktzah. Your question doesn't begin. You're asking me a question, that how could I move a non-muktzah kli for something muktzah. When it's a hatsola, which is not matsui, I can answer you that it's not muktzah, and therefore you're allowed to move it. But the Ritva says that Rabba would rather answer that Mishnah consistent with the terutzim that he gave to the other Mishnayis, that it's speaking about a hatsola, which is matsui because it's a new house. But Einachanami, he could have answered that it's not muktzah to begin with. Continues the Gemara, and on the side it says again, Toshima, come in here, we learned in the Mishnah, Kaifin es asal lifnei afroichim, that when you have newborn young birds, and they cannot fly, and in order to get to the nest, they need something to step on, so one can turn over a basket in front of those young birds, sheyalu v'yerdu, that they will be able to go up and down to get to their nests. So the kashan Rabbi Yosef is that here we're taking a kli, the sal, and it was mukhan to be used in various ways on Shabbos, and now the sal is muktzah, because when it has birds on it, the birds are muktzah, because bali chayim are muktzah, and that causes the sal as a buses, as a base, also to become muktzah. So you're being mevatel kli me'echanai, because you cannot use the sal which is muktzah. How is this permitted to be done on Shabbos? So Tosfos in the Devar Maskil Kaifin es Hasal points out that he wants to understand, why didn't the Gemara bring this Mishnah as a question on Rabba? Why is it only bringing it on Rabbi Yosef? We could have asked on Rabba. You paskin that a keli, which is not muktzah, cannot be brought, cannot be moved for something muktzah, if it's a hatsola shena mitsuya, and here we see that you're allowed to do it by these young birds. Answers Taisvis, Le'il Oimatsi Parch Mina, the Hatzola Mitsuyahi. No, the young birds who are just born, this is not something infrequent. This is the normal mahalach that they can't get up by themselves to their nest, and therefore they need this cell to be able to step on. So, this, in fact, on Rabba, this mission would be Bechlal no Kasha. It is a Hatzola Mitsuya, and therefore one is allowed to turn over the sal so that the Afrochen can go up to the nest. It is, however, a question on Rabbi Yosef, because Rabbi Yosef is not Mechalik between Mitsuya or Eina Mitsuya. Rabbi Yosef just says a rule that you cannot be Mevatel Ekli Mehechonoi, and here, by now, having the bird step on the sal, the sal is Muktzah, and you are being Mevatel Ekli Mehechonoi. How could you do this? So therefore we have to answer the kasha according to Rabbi Yosef. The Gemara answers, Kasavar, Rabbi Yosef is of the opinion that mutu l'tal t'loi, that once the birds get off the cell on Shabbos, you are allowed to move it. So you're not being mevatel kli me'echanei, because once they're not there, you're allowed to move the cell. The Gemara asks, the Kashva Tanya, asul l'tal t'loi, we learned in the Braisa that in fact you cannot move the cell when the birds are there. The Gemara answers, yes, that's speaking boid no love when the birds are on it. But once the birds have gone away, you're allowed to move it, and therefore it's not being mevatel kli mechanei. The Gemara keeps on asking, Vatani, we learned in another brisa where it says distinctly, afal pisha ein oidon olav usher, that it is usher to move the basket even though the birds are no longer on top of the basket. So what is your pshat that you're saying mutter l'tal t'loi? It says beferish it's usher even if the birds are no longer on there. And therefore, again, the question comes back, you are being mevatel kli mechanei? Amar Rabbi Avuah responds, Ba'oidin alav kol ben ashmashes, that brisa which says that it's usher to be metatel even though the birds are no longer on the sal, that is speaking about that during the entire ben ashmashes, the birds were on the sal. And therefore, we have a halacha that migui diskat soil ben ashmashes, that once this sal became muktze during the ben ashmashes period, then it becomes muktzah for the entire Shabbos. If something is muktzah during the Bein HaShemashes period, the person has no das to use this item during the Bein HaShemashes period, then it becomes muktzah for the whole Shabbos. However, when I said mutu l'taltoi, this is speaking about a case where the young birds came on the sal after Bein HaShemashes was over, when Shabbos already began. And there the din is that it is only muktzah when the birds are on it, but once the birds have gone off, if they went on the sal on Shabbos, and then they go off the sal on Shabbos, once they go off, the kli is able to be moved. The only time it would be also to be moved if the birds were there the entire Bein HaShemashes period. So therefore, in our case, where they were not there the entire Bein HaShemashes period, the sal in fact can be moved once the birds have gone, and therefore you're not being mevatel kli mechanei. There is no question on Rabbi Yosef. Now we have an opinion, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak is going to argue on Rabbi Chisda's din. Again, as we mentioned before, Rabbi Chisda, Membeis, Amabeis, was mechalek when you're allowed to use a kli for an egg that was laid on Shabbos. You're only allowed to use it to cover up the egg, but you're not allowed to use it to catch the egg. And Rabbi Yitzchak says, no. Kishem, shein noisnen kli, tachas tarnegoilus, the kabel beit sasa, just like it's usher, which Rabbi Chisda agrees, just like Rabbi Chisda agreed that it's usher to put a kli under a hen to catch an egg on Shabbos, kachen koifen ala kli, bishul shalat yishavar. So too, says Rabbi Yitzchak, you're not allowed to even put a cover. Here's the point where he disagrees with Rabbi Chisda. Rabbi Chisda holds you're allowed to. Rabbi, according to his pshat, and Rabbi Yosef, according to his pshat, you're allowed to cover up a egg with a kli. However, on that point, Rabbi Yitzchak disagrees, and he says, no, ain't koifen ala kli b'shul shalat yishavar. You're not allowed to turn over the kli, even to protect the egg from being broken. What's the reason of Rabbi Yitzchak? Says the Gemara, Kasavar ein kli nitel ela ledavar nitel b'shabbos. He makes a across-the-board blanket rule that a keli cannot be moved unless it is being moved for something that it itself could be moved. There's no chalukim, there are no differences and no exceptions to this. There's a blanket rule. The rule is, whether it's to catch the egg, whether it's to cover the egg, the bottom line is the thing that you are moving the first keli for, is that item muktzah or not muktzah? Could it be moved or can it not be moved? If it cannot be moved, then I cannot move the other kli for any purpose whatsoever for the item that is muktzah. The Gemara says, Meisvei kol haniti yufta. So now we ask on Rabbi Yitzchak Shita all the questions that we have asked previously in the Gemara. We asked a question from a keli that was put under a broken barrel of tevel. We asked a question from the Mishnah that allows us to put a kli under a lamp to catch the falling sparks. We ask from the Mishnah placing a bowl over a lamp so that the beam doesn't catch fire. We ask from the Mishnah that you, a beam that broke, you can support it with a bench or the sideboards of a bed. We ask from the Mishnah of putting a keli under leaking rainwater. We ask from the Brisa that you can turn over the basket for the young birds to get up to the nest. We ask all these questions that we've had so far on this Amid, and what will Rabbi Yitzchak do with all these questions? He can't make chalukim that it's matsui versus not matsui, because that's only according to Rabbah. He doesn't go with that concept. He also can't answer Rabbi Yosef, because Rabbi Yosef's terutzim were to tell us that it is not being mevatel kli mechanei. But again, Rabbi Yitzchak is not going with the thought of mevatel kli mechanei. Rabbi Yitzchak is going, is the item that you are moving the first keli for, is it mukta? Is it a dover that's not nittel, or is it not mukta, which means it is a dover on nittel? If it's a dover on nittel, I can move it. If it's not a dover on nittel, I cannot move it. And therefore, all these questions will be difficult, and he has to come up with a new teretz. What is it, Rabbi Yitzchak's new teretz? Vishani, he answers, but sarachlim kaimai. It's speaking in all these cases where he needed the place where the first keli was situated, and once he picked it up, he has a right, since he needs that place, he has a right to move it. Once he has a right to move it, then he can use this keli for all the purposes which we learned in the previous Mishnahs and Brises. Tashma, the Gemara says, come in here, I still have a question to ask you, Rabbi Yitzchak. Achas be'esh nol d'b'Shabbos, whether it is an egg that is laid on Shabbos, whether it's an egg that is laid on Yontif, a metaltlin, you're not allowed to move the egg. You're not allowed to move the egg. Loy lechasis boys a kli, not to cover up a kli that has an opening, and you're going to cover it with the egg. And also not velismach boy karimita, you're not allowed to use the egg to support the legs of the bed. Avol koifol a kli b'shvil shloy tishavar, but you are allowed to cover the egg itself in order that it should not be broken. So lechayr we see that we are allowed to move something for another item, in this case the egg, which that other item is not nittel, and it's difficult, it's a kasha on Rabbi Yitzchak. To get more answers, hachanami b'tzarchim kaimai. This again is speaking about a case where he needs the place where the keli is, so he has to pick it up anyway. Once he picks it up, he can then use it to cover the mukta egg. Toshima, come in here. We learned parson machzolos, you're allowed to spread out mats al gabi avonim on top of stones b'Shabbos and Shabbos, and lechayr those stones are mukta, and yet you see that you're allowed to move something for another item which is not nittel on Shabbos. It's a kashan Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak will answer b'avonim mikurzolois. These are speaking about sharp pointed stones, and what could you use them for? The Chazin lebeisak he say that they, in those days they used to use these sharp stones for after use of the bathroom. And therefore, these stones were never mukta. The person had das to use those stones on Shabbos, and therefore you're allowed to spread out the mats on top of it, because in fact the stones are not mukta. Toshma, come in here. Parson machzolos al gabi levonim. B'Shabbos, you're allowed to spread out mats on top of bricks that were designated to be used for building purposes. And since they were designated to be used for a building, therefore they're mukta. And yet you see, you're allowed to spread the mats over them is a question on Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak answers, the ishtayir mi binyana. No, these were not bricks that were about to be used for a binyan. These were bricks where the construction had ended, and the bricks were left over. And now, what can I use these bricks for? The chazin lemizgalayu. As Rashi says, the derech in those days was to sit and to lean, and the bricks helped the person, gave the person support that the person would be able to sit and lean. and therefore they have a purpose, they're not muktzah, and therefore you're covering something that in fact is not muktzah. It's not difficult on Rabbi Yitzchak. Toshma, come in here. Parsimach tells Agabi Kivaras Devoirim. You're allowed to spread a mat on top of a beehive, Bishabbos and Shabbos. Bechamim Nechama, you're allowed to do it in the sun, because of the sun, that it shouldn't make a defect in the beehive. Or Bikshamim in the rain, Bnechshamim, because of the rain should not soak the beehive as well. And the Gemara at this point is of the understanding that we're talking about. Bechama means bimoisachama, even though the word bimois is not there. In the days of the sun, and that is in the summer. Bechama means in the days of the winter. Mivneyakshama, that the beehive should not be become damaged because of either heat or the wintry conditions. Ubulvad, with one provision, shleyischavim lotzud, that the person, when he spreads the machzelas to protect the beehive, should not have kavana to capture the bees, because then he would be over on Shabbos of the iser of tzeda, of capturing on Shabbos. But what do we see? That you're allowed to move something for the purpose of protecting the beehive. The beehive is muktzah because the beehive has within it the dvorim, the bees, which are muktzah. So you see, you're allowed to move it, not like Rabbi Yitzchak. Answers Rabbi Yitzchak, Hakamai Askin and Dekid Vash, that there is in the beehive honey, and the honey is not muktzah, and therefore it's considered that he's moving the mat for the purpose of protecting the honey, and the honey is not muktzah. Omle Rav Ukva Mishnah Rav Ashi. Rav Ukva formation asked Rav Ashi, Tinach Bimoisachama. Now Rav Ukva understood that the words before Bechama meant Bimoisachama, and Bikshamim meant Bimoisachamim. So that's good in the summer. Tinach Bimoisachama, it's good in the summer. Now we turn to Mem Gimelamed Beis Dikidvash. There is honey in the beehive. So then you're right, he's moving the mats in order to protect the honey, which is not muktzah. And then it would not be difficult on Rabbi Yitzchak. However, what do you do with the part of the of the brisa which says b'mois hakshamim? In the wintertime, the lekedvash, there is no honey in the winter in the beehive. So ma'ikalamemer, what can you answer then? L'chayre, it is difficult on Rabbi Yitzchak because you're moving something for a protection of the beehive, which is muktzah, and yet you see you're allowed to do it. Loi nitzrucha, the Gemara says, it must be speaking about a lo'oysen shtei chalas. It's speaking about the two honeycombs which remain in the beehive for the usage of the bees during the winter season, and therefore, again, he is covering the beehive for those shtechalas which are not muktzah. They are in fact muktzah because since they're not for human consumption, their whole purpose is for the bees. So since the bees are muktzah, so this food that goes to the bees is also muktzah. The Gemara answers the chashuv alayah. The person had kavana, the owner of the beehive had kavana that he in fact is going to take away these honeycombs from the bees. And since he's going to take it away, it is not muktzah anymore. The Gemara asks, my usher, you're telling me it's speaking about a case where he thought that he's going to use it on Shabbos and it's not muktzah. But let's say he would not have thought that. In fact, it would be usher, because then the honeycombs would be muktzah. And therefore, you're not allowed, as Rabbi Yitzchak says, you're not allowed to take something to use for an item that's not nittel on Shabbos, that's muktzah on Shabbos. Ihochi, if that is so, ask the Gemara. Hode tani, that's which we learned. Ubelvad shalai yischavin lotzer. It's only mutter to protect it in the chamo and the kshamim if he has no kavana to capture the dvorim. Liflik v'lesne b'dida. Why do you have to make the exception when he has kavana to do tzeda? We can make the difference Meneu Bey, in this case, the very case itself. We don't have to go into the inyan of tzeda. It could have said, it should have said, Bamedvor Mamurim Kishachishiv Alein. When is it permitted to drape the beehive with a cover, with the mats, when he had kavana to use the honeycombs for himself? Avaloi Chishiv Alein. But if he didn't have kavana, so the honeycombs remain mukta. If it remains mukta, then Rabbi Yitzchak Shita is that you're not allowed to move something to protect mukta. So why did you make the chilek if he has kavana for tzeid or not? Make the chilek in this very case itself. It depends, did he have kavana to use the honeycombs, or did he not have kavana? The Gemara answers, hakamashma, because he wants to teach you, afal pi shechishev alein, that even if he did have kavana, there's still something else that he has to be worried about. Well, but vachal yischavim watsud, he still has to have kavana, not to want, when he drapes over the mat, it's not to want to capture inside the dvorim. So he understands that you have to have kavana. The chishev must be there, but he's trying to teach you the chishev is not enough. You need something else in order to make it permissible, and that is don't have kavana to do tseida on the dvorim. Now the Gemara asks, money, who is this Brisa going like? E Rab Shimon, if it's going like Rab Shimon, lesle mukta, he doesn't hold of mukta. In other words, so first let's explain what it means that Rab Shimon doesn't hold of mukta. Avada Rab Shimon holds there is a din of mukta, but he doesn't hold that mukta is as broad ranging as Rab Yehuda holds. In other words, Rab Shimon holds that if a person would not have kavana for the honeycombs, it would not become mukta. It would only become mukta if he beferish had kavana, I am not going to use this on Shabbos. Then it becomes mukta. But stam kavana, if he had no kavana to use it or not to use it, we would say that it is not mukta according to Rav Shimon. Rav Yehuda disagrees with this, and Rav Yehuda says stam, if he didn't have kavana one way or the other, we would say stam is mukta. It's only not mukta if chishev, if he beferish had kavana. So since you're telling me this case is speaking about chishev, that he had kavana to use it, it can't be going like Rav Shimon. That's what the Gemara is asking. E Rav Shimon lesle mukta. In this case, he wouldn't hold of mukta, although he holds it in other cases, but in this case, where it's stam, where he had no kavana one way or the other, he would hold that it is not mukta. And here you're telling me that he has to have chishev, and if he doesn't think to use it, it is mukta, so it can't be going like Rav Shimon. But then again, I have a problem. It can't go like Rav Yehuda either. E Rav Yehuda, who does hold that stam, that no kavana one way or the other, is mukta. And therefore, the only way that it shouldn't be mukta is if chishev. So that works out well according to Rav Yehuda. But I have a different problem. Why do you tell me at the end of the brisa, you tell me that he can't have kavana for tzad? According to Rav Yehuda, even if he doesn't have kavana for tzad, if in fact he does an action of tzad without having kavana, he would still be not allowed to do that. Ki loy mischaven my havi. What's the difference if he doesn't have kavana? Hadavar shenei mischaven aser. Rav Yehuda holds that davar shenei mischaven is aser, not like Rav Shimon holds davar shenei mischaven is mutter. So who this brisa comes out not like Rav Shimon and not like Rav Yehuda. The Gemara answers la'olam Rav Yehuda. Really, the brisa comes out according to Rabbi Yehuda, and that's why you need chishev, because if he doesn't have machshava, if it's stam kavana one way or the other, it will become mukta according to Rabbi Yehuda. So you asked me a question, why does he have to have, he shouldn't have kavana for tzeda, even if he doesn't have kavana, Rabbi Yehuda holds dover shenem is kavana zasser mayu bilvachalei is chavan latsud. What does it mean that he should not have kavana for tzeda? It means shalei asenu kimetsuda. He shouldn't do an action of making it into a trap. And what should he do? Delishbik luravcha. He should leave over a little space where they could get out of. Kihechi delalitzin memela. If he would make a trap, he would envelop the beehive totally with the mats, and then automatically it would be tzeda. And then memela, the Gemara says, it would automatically, even if he didn't have kavana, in fact, if it is in fact a trap, then whether he has kavana or not, according to Rav Yehuda, makes no difference. So what the Gemara is saying is, bilvad shalei yischaven means, don't have an idea to cover it completely, because if you're going to have such an idea and you're going to do it, then even if you didn't intend to do tzedek, but since automatically it turned into a trap, then you'll automatically be chayv as well, because Darvei Shemus Kavan is in fact prohibited according to Rabbi Yehuda. So this is the first way that the Gemara understands this brisa. Rav Ashi Omar, Rav Ashi has a new answer to the kasha. We asked before that in the winter time there's no honey, and if in the winter time there's no honey, so how can you cover it in the winter time with a mat? You're, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, you're moving something for an item that's not nittel, that you can't move. It's muktzah. The beehive is muktzah, because the only thing in the beehive is the bees. That was our question. In the winter time, how do we understand? So Rav Ashi gives a whole different teretz. Mik tani b'moisacham u'b'moisach shamim. Does it then say in the brisa, in the summertime, in the days of sun, meaning the summertime, and in the days of rain, meaning the rain time, in the winter? It doesn't say b'mois, it says b'chama, in the sun. Mivnei achama, to protect it from the sun. U'b'kshamim, in the rain. Mivnei achshamim, because of the rain. So says Rav Ashi, you know what it really means? It means katani b'yayim nisan b'yayim tishri. It's speaking about not the summer and the winter. It's speaking about when you have sun and rain. When is that? Either in the springtime in the days of Nisan, or in the fall time in the days of Tishrei. The ikachama, you have sun. The next words, we are not goris, and then we go to the words v'ikach shamim, and there is rain. You have both. V'ikadvash, and there's plenty of honey. So we don't have to be doichik that it's speaking about in the winter concerning the two honeycombs, and then we have the whole issue with chishev or loy chishev. It's speaking about there's plenty of honey, and that's why you're allowed to move the mats to cover the beehive, because the beehive in fact is not mukta, because he is the reason that he is moving the keli is not for the beehive. It's not a question of the beehive. It's to protect the honey, and there's plenty of honey because it's speaking about either in the spring or the fall. And what it says bechamah and bikshamah does not mean b'moisacham and moisacham in the summer and winter, but rather it means b'yaminis yamatishra in the fall and the spring, when you have plenty of honey and you have sun and rain. Amar lahu Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes said to his Talmidim, Puku v'amru le Rabbi Yitzchak, go and tell Rabbi Yitzchak, the same Rabbi Yitzchak who told us that ain kli nittel el ledover nittel b'shabbes, that kvar tirgum harafuna l'shmaitzich b'bavol, that what you are trying to say, your halacha was already interpreted by Rav Huna in Bavol, and he agrees with your psak halacha. Where do we see this? The Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna said, "Ois mechitz lemeis bishul chai." If you want to protect a mace from the elements, and you want to put a mechitza in front of the mace, you cannot do it directly for the mace, because the mace is mukta. And as Rabbi Yitzchak said, "Ein kli nittel el adover hanittel b'shabbes," and a mace is not a dover nittel; he can't be moved. So if he can't be moved, you can't make a mechitza directly for the mace. So the Gemara gives us a whole way of erecting a mechitza and not be over on the principle of "Ein kli nittel el adover hanittel b'shabbes." You can only do it if you do it b'shvil chai, if you do it for someone living, and we'll soon give an example of this. Ve'ein oisa mechitza l'meis b'shvil meis. You can't make a mechitza for a meis directly for the meis. You have to do it through a chai. Mayi, what's the case? D'amar b'shmul bar b'yehuda v'chein tonish shila mori, and shila mori learned the same thing. Meis hamutl b'chamo, a meis that was in the sun, and you want to protect the meis from the heat of the sun, it'll affect the meis in a bad way. So here's how you do it. Boim shnei b'nei adam, two people come, the yoshim b'tzidor, and they sit on the ground right next to the mace. Cham lohem milmato, if the ground is so hot that they can't sit on the ground anymore, zeh mevi mito v'yoshvelah. So Reuven brings a bed and he sits on it. V'zeh, and Shimon mevi mito v'yoshvelah, and he also sits on his bed. Cham lohem milmato, if it's still hot, they need protection. on top, there's still a bright sun shining down on their foreheads, and it's very uncomfortable. What do? Mevi machzalis. They bring a curtain, uparsin aleihen, and they cover themselves with it. And then Zez, zaykev mitasai, Reuven lifts up his bed, and he makes it into a pillar which will hold up the curtain. Vinishmat, and he slides away, and he leaves his side of the curtain on top of the bed. V'hoylechlein, he goes away. V'zen, now Shimon Zoyke Mitasoi, he also lifts up his bed. V'nishmat, and he slides away, leaving. V'hoylechlein, he walks away. V'nimtzas, it comes out, mechitza suyimeleo, that the mechitza for the mace is made by itself. Explains Rashi and Tosfos that there's a halacha, ein oisin oil arai betchil b'shabbos, that even a temporary mechitza, a temporary ohel, is not allowed to be made l'chatchil on Shabbos. So Rashi explains that's if you do it mulmato l'maylo. In other words, first you make the partitions and then you put a roof on it, that is a type of oil, a temporary oil that is not permitted to be done on Shabbos. But over here it was done different, and that is permitted. Here it was done mulmaila lamata. Here they first had the roof, the top on, was covering themselves on their heads, then they put the beds underneath as the partitions, and then they walked away, and by itself there was a mechitza. That's momaila, starting from the top down. That's not the usual way to make a mechitza. So that the Chachamim did not prohibit this oil aroi done momaila lamata, from top to bottom, which is not the regular way to do it. That is permitted to be done, and in this way the mace comes out to be protected from the sun. And Tosfos points out in Divrei HaMaskil, Cham Lahem Mulmato, Tosfos wants to understand, why do we have to go through this whole play over here? They have to first sit on the ground till it gets hot. Why can't they bring the bed right away? What do they have to bring the bed and then bring the machzalas? Let them bring the bed and the machzalas both at the same time. And Tosfos answers, the Achmar Rabbanu Lemevet Hekeira Shehu Letzor Rechai Kol Kamo De'Efshel Lemevet. In order to show that really we're trying to make this for the chai and not for the mace. So we make it, we play out the whole scenario where at first it's very hot for the people on to sit on the ground. Oh, so they have to go and bring a bed. And then it's still hot for them, then they have to go and bring a curtain. So it's trying to demonstrate, to act out, that everybody who's looking at it sees that really they're doing it for themselves, for the chai. And it just comes out at the end that it was beneficial for the mace. So the reason they go through all these steps is to show, to demonstrate more and more that it's being done for the chai and not for the mace. It's just memela, it's there for the mace at the end as well. So what is this negeya to our whole sugya? Because to do it directly for the mace is prohibited because of the rule that ein kli nitl el ledavar nitl b'shabbos. And since a mace cannot be moved, therefore you cannot move a curtain, a bed, or anything for the purpose of the mace, as Rabbi Yitzchak has told us, and that's what Rav Sheish has told us. Talmidim, tell Rabbi Yitzchak that Rav Huna has paskened like you in Bavel. Continues the Gemara, Itmar we learned. Now the Gemara is going to tell us various ways to help protect a mace from the sun on Shabbos. Mace hamutl b'chama, a mace that is in the sun. Rav Yehuda Amr Shmuel, hoichay mimitl mita, you can move him from one bed to another, roll him over from one bed to another. Rav Chanina bar Yishalmi, mishmei derav Amr, he has a different eitzah, meniach alav. In order to get him to the shade, instead of rolling him from bed to bed, as we just learned, his eitz is a more direct one. Maniach lof kikar, put a loaf of bread on the bed, oi tinik, or a child, umetaltle, and then, since you're allowed to move the bed for the purpose of the bread or the tinik, you're moving the mace at the same time. Normally, we wouldn't do this, but if there was something else muktzah on the bed, we would not use this method. But for the cover of the mace, the Chachamim allowed the mace to be moved in this manner. So the Gemara explains, if there is a loaf of bread or a child available, if you use that method, everybody holds its mutter. When is there a machlaikis? The less lay, when there is no child or bread available. Mar sover, the one who gave an eitzah, the one who says that you should not roll the mace from bed to bed, he's of the opinion that tiltu minatzad, that even moving something minatzad from the side, Rashi explains, kol achar yad, you're doing it not in a normal way, shmei tiltu, that is considered tiltu, and therefore you're moving something muktzah on Shabbos, and you should not do that. Umar sovra loy shmei tiltu, and the other one holds, no, tiltu minatzad is not called a tiltu, and therefore it is permitted. The Gemara says, lehmik tanoim, maybe this is really a machlokes tanoim, we learned, you're not allowed to save a mace in front of a fire. That you are allowed to. I heard you are allowed to save a mace from a fire that it should not be burnt up on Shabbos. The Gemara says, "Hey chidami, what's the machloikis? What's the case talking about? If there is a child or a loaf of bread available, my time at the Tanakama. So what is the reason of the Tanakama? Not to save the mace, do it with the method which everybody holds as mutter to put a tinnik or a kikor on the bed and in that way move the mace away from the fire. Idaleka, if there is no tinnik or kikor available, my time at Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, what's the reason of Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish who permits it? L'chayre, it's muktzah, and one should not be able to be permitted to move the mace. Elalav, it must be speaking about betilt menatzad. It must be speaking about that there's no kikor or tinnik available, but you can move the mace from bed to bed. And the machloikis is whether the mar sover tilt menatzad shmei tiltul, the one who says it's osur to move the mace in that manner holds tiltu minatzad is considered tiltu of muktzah and you're not allowed to do it. Umar sovereign, the one who says it's mutter to do it in that way, loishmei tiltu, he holds tiltu minatzad is not considered tiltu. So l'chayra, it's a machloikis tanoim. So what are these amaroim arguing in something that's already a machloikis tanoim? The Gemara answer is loy. That's not the machloikis tanoim. The kuli alma tiltu minatzad shmei tiltu. It's possible that both tanoim held that tiltu minatzad is considered tiltu of muktzah and it would be usur. So why does Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish hold its mutter? Vahine time of the Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, the mitarich she'adam bol amase. Since a person is very gets very distressed because of his mace, he doesn't want to see his mace being burnt up. And now we turn to daf mem dalet amud aleph. Eloi shar yisleh. If you're not going to allow him to move his mace, asil chabui, he's going to take water and he's going to extinguish the fire on Shabbos. That we certainly don't want him to be over on that aveira of kibui on Shabbos. So therefore, in this instance, even though tiltu minatzad is shmo tiltu, and even Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish would agree to that, he said the Chachamim permitted him to move the mace from one bed to another through tiltu minatzad in order that he shouldn't get burnt, because otherwise we're afraid that the person will come to be over on Issa Derisa of extinguishing a fire on Shabbos. Amr Rabbi Yehuda ben Shula, Amr Rav Asher, Rabbi Yochanan, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish ben Meis. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish ben Meis, that one is allowed, tilt minatzad normally would be usher, but in order to, for the, that the mace should not get burnt, it's mutter to move him min hatzad from to go from bed to bed. We'll learn the next piece right before the Mishnah. We learned in the Mishnah Mem Beis Amud Beis that the oil that is in a keli, which the oil dripped there on Shabbos, ein usna mena, one is not allowed to have anah from it. Lefisha ein mena mukum, because it was not prepared before Shabbos, and therefore it is muktzah. One should not use it on Shabbos. The question is this only when the flame is burning, or even after the flame has become extinguished? Tana Rabbanan, Meiser Hashem, the leftover oil, shebener shebekar, after the flame has extinguished and is left over in the candle, in the plate, in the bowl, usher, one is not allowed to use it on Shabbos. This is Rabbi Yehuda Shita, that anything that was muktzah ben hashmashes, like the oil here in the candle in the plate or the candle, migdis katsoy lebenish mashis katsoy kolo Shabbos, since it was muktzah benish mashis, it's muktzah for the whole Shabbos. Therefore, it is also even after the light is extinguished. For Rab Shimon, mati Rab Shimon holds it's only muktzah while the flame is burning, but once the flame has become extinguished, the moiser hashemen shabenevish regar is in fact mutter, the person is allowed to use it, because he does not, Rab Shimon does not hold of the klal of migdis katsoy lebenish mashis is katsoy. He holds mukta only while the flame is burning itself and not after it has become extinguished.